felt the rip in her shoulder muscles as someone grabbed her and tried to pull her with them.
"Get out, my lady!"
It was Daniil. "We'll be burned alive if we don't run." Instinct made her scramble upright and run with him, stumbling over bodies and not looking down to see who they were. She was swept up in the tide as everyone abandoned ship. Cool, fresh air hit her face, and she was suddenly skidding down a torn sheet of metal the size of a raft, hot under her hands, then falling a short distance onto grass and pebbles. She had already run some way from the wreckage before she looked back to see what was cracking and groaning behind her. Flames licked what was left of the hull for a few moments, then engulfed it. The last thing she saw before she fled for her life was jets of leaking coolant ignite and send columns of flame into the air like blowtorches. When had she last run like this, throwing every muscle fiber into it? She'd been a child. She'd been playing chase with her brothers and sisters. As she grew up, she learned that females didn't run. They had no need to. But she needed to run now. Her legs pumped, but she felt as if she were struggling through mud. Her lungs screamed for breath, then a blast, silent, oddly silent, caught her full in the back and lifted her off the ground. She landed hard, and the last gulps of air were knocked out of her. Noise and blisteringly hot air swept over her moments later. All she could do was lie there, unable to move, noticing just how many small black clouds of smoke were hanging in the sky above her, and wait to die. Someone grabbed her arm again and pulled her to her feet.
"Run, my lady!"
It was Daniil, the young male who'd been so patient with her on the bridge.
"We have to get out. Where's Forze?"
She couldn't get her breath. "Where is he?"
"I can't see him. Everyone's scattered. Quick, find cover. They're coming for us."
"Who is?"
"The Arbiter's troops."
All Tel Vadam's forces had to do was head for the crashed ship, now a burning beacon on the edge of the city. There was no hiding from them. If she tried to pass as a local in Vadam, her accent and light skin would mark her out as coming from a foreign keep. The entire crew was in the same position. They would have to fight their way home. She found herself stumbling through thorn bushes and then into trees, and only when she ran out of breath and her legs wouldn't carry her any farther did she stop, dropping to the ground. Daniil stopped with her.
"You have to keep going. Go. Leave me here. I can't."
Raya could think of nothing now but survival. Just when she thought her lungs would burst and she could never stand up again, a cold and intense clarity swept over her and stripped away every thought that wasn't devoted to the immediate moment. She reached into her holster and took the plasma pistol, checking the charge.
"I have several hundred shots in this, don't I?"
She held it so that Daniil could see it.
"Tell me, how many?" "That model? 400.
"More than enough."
"For what?"
"To kill any fool who tries to kill me." Finding Jules was a secondary issue now, and she was shocked to find she felt no guilt for thinking that way. She was no use to Jules dead.
"I have nothing to lose. What do we do now? Regroup or press on?"
Daniil looked down at her as if she was mad.
"Do you want the command view, or the real one? I could tell you that we press on and die gloriously. Or I could tell you that the intelligent thing to do is to escape and come back another day with greater forces."
"Then we will do the intelligent thing," Raya said. She looked around, buoyed up on new clarity, and spotted some of Unflinching Resolve's crew moving through the trees at a crouch, pistols in hands.
"I have never traveled far from my keep. How do we get home now?" "Ah, that's the question," Daniil said.
Forze came crashing through the undergrowth, smoke-smeared and angry.
"Raya, come with me. We must get down the shore. Naxan's going to send Guse to collect you."
"Is that it? What about everyone else?"
Let us worry about that. You shouldn't be here. This is no place for an elder's wife. Don't start that argument again.
She could still hear the sporadic crack and hiss of cannon somewhere in the distance. Then another sound began to drown it out. A ship's drives, and she assumed it was Gusse showing up to take her home. It was only when the sound multiplied that she realized there was a squadron of vessels somewhere overhead, and her assumption changed. This was the Arbiter's fleet, coming to hunt them down and finish them off. She wasn't the only one. She saw all the males look up and aim their weapons, pointless though it was to try to take on warships with pistols. But she raised hers, too. Then Telkam came stalking into the clearing just ahead of her. He held out his arms as if he was summoning his crew for an address.
"Do you hear that?" he called. "Do you hear it? Do you know what that is?"
He was taking a huge risk. Whoever was flying overhead would be able to see him, but he looked more than unconcerned. He looked triumphant.
"What is it, brother?" one of the monks asked. "Listen to your communications," Telkam said. "Open the channel. The gods have come to our aid."
Raia's heart sank. The monk had lost his mind. She waited for a searing energy bolt to vaporize him where he stood, but she turned and caught the expression on Daniil's face and Forze's. All the troops were listening to something. She had no communications equipment. She wouldn't even have known which channel to switch to.
"I'd call that a timely miracle," Forze said.
His jaws parted and snapped together again with satisfaction.
"And an apt one."
"What?" Raia stood in his way, demanding an answer. "What is it?" Forze removed his communicator and held it out to her.
"Listen to the sound of salvation," he said.
The mood had changed in seconds. The surviving crew were all standing in the open now, either listening to their communicators, or roaring in approval as they looked up into the sky. She put Forze's device to her ear. Someone was talking to Telkam.
"We're not alone," the voice said. "Word is spreading from city to city. The keeps are rallying. We might not be the most pious warriors, but Vadam has gone too far this time, allowing human troops to land on Sangelius, allowing them to defile a temple. That's more than enough to unite the keeps against him.